All right. So we hope you've had enough time to get to the bathroom and back. All right. So let's begin with questions. This is the opportunity that you have to kind of write this seminar with us. So where do we begin?
Okay. So from Valerie, we get, I have an image of struggling with financial debt for way too long, more than a decade. Why is this kind of image so difficult to get rid of? Why do some people who have no training in metaphysics easily change their image around finances and money supporting their choices and their new realities? What are they doing that magicians, me, are not doing? Thanks.
Oh, this is a very, very good question, Valerie. Very good. All right. So many people have asked us a question more or less similar to this. Is why is it that, you know, non-spiritual people seem to have such an easier time with the money thing or so forth? And first of all, we'd say that money comes from the collective. Money is a consensus mainstream energy. It is an energy of exchange in the world. And as such, it involves a lot of engagement with the world and balances between not just individuals, but between groups, between nations, you know, and there's several different layers of money, i.e. Survival level money, building level money, saving money, investing money. There's all sorts of layers of activities around money. So what we notice is that people who are spiritually inclined often have a difficulty really plugging in to the consciousness of the mainstream. And that's perfectly understandable because in a lot of ways it sucks. All right, it's not like you just have a totally great time with pop culture all the time. It's like you want something better and bigger and more meaningful and so on than other people who seem to be focused on money and ordinary mundane things may be. So that's the first thing, and that's the underlying belief there, is that you're either material or worldly, i.e. connected into the world, or you're spiritual and therefore ascetic, removed from the world, kind of like monks, you know? And part of what you personally, and also a whole group of you, spiritual people, are doing, are learning how to bring these two together. But when it comes to money per se, the spiritual, as according to the material worldly point of view, is really not that important. It's something to be, for religious people, for example, well, they just do it on Saturday or Sunday, or they do some observance here and there and just be good people and all that kind of stuff. And then there are the people who are really, really into mysticism, and they are the ones that are way out there, and they don't relate to the world hardly at all. But you have decided to bring the world and the spirit together. And so that means that a lot of the training that has come from the consensus reality, and we say training, not in the sense that you acknowledge it as training, but that it is relentless in its teaching you, relentless in its repetition. And generally, the key to teaching is repetition. You repeat something enough, and people believe it. And so So there's this whole value about money, and in the collective, in the consensus reality, the value around money involves putting everything else at a lesser importance level. You're not able to do that. And so you have to integrate the collective with and its value of money, which is, for the most part, you recognize it's a lot of illusion, just this whole idea that money itself is so damn important. And you have to reconcile that with what you think is important, which is the spiritual, which is love and light and the divine and sharing and caring and thriving with love and other people and so on. And so there's this whole sense of spiritual community here on one hand, and then the world community on the other hand, which you just don't relate to. Like we talked about earlier, identity. You don't identify with the collective. Now, why is that such a problem? It's because the money comes from the collective. It's a collective thing. It's not a mystical spiritual thing. Money is a collective thing. It's a worldly thing. So for you to connect to the world requires that you have a different relationship with the consensus reality, that you are able to more love it, more love the people, more love it. Not that you need to engage with it and dance with it and spend all your time, you know, going to the latest pop event, pop concert or whatever it is. It means, though, that this is a human experience and for you to see its spiritual side. And also, when you reach out, when you offer whatever it is that you offer for exchange with money, okay, is that you do it with a sense of love of the divine in the world. So you're reaching out to the world, loving the world. Now, if you reach out to the world and love the world, then the world will eventually respond to you. So that's one big thing. The other thing, though, is that the experience of struggling with money has created a loop where the struggle with money gets embedded in your image, and then it brings and attracts to you more struggle with money, which then reinforces the old image, which reinforces the attraction to bringing in less money than you want, and on and on and on. And so it becomes a kind of a cycle. And what you want to do about that is you want to pay attention to your mind talk about it, so that you can eliminate the struggle. If you have scarcity and you eliminate all the struggle energy around it, you may still have the scarcity, but boy, it'll be a damn bit easier dealing with it. Okay? And look at the struggle. The struggle is, oh, I don't have enough. I'm not getting enough. I've got to do more. I've got to look for ways to do it. I've got to work harder. I've got to try more. I've got to, what is the mind talk that's around it that creates the energies of struggle? Because these are energies that come right back from, maybe you didn't think you struggled with money in your earlier days. Back in adolescence, you may not have had to think about money that much, but definitely in your young adult days, in your 20s, you had to think about money. Maybe you had a different perspective on it then, and you were newer to it, and so you didn't know to struggle yet. Okay. However, once you get into the struggle loop, you get into a martyr loop where you're working too hard to earn it. To make it happen, to try to push it to happen. And you got to really stop that earning thing. Earn it, stop earning, forgive yourself, remember who you are as a divine being. This is what we mentioned earlier, right? Accept yourself. Okay, here I am. I'm a magical person. I'm a divine being. And somehow or another, I just keep getting into this scarcity pit thing. Okay, I'm all right. That's part of what I do over here, and over here I love and cherish and have a good time, and over here I have fun, and over here I'm focused on learning things and getting things done. Okay, so you have all these parts of you, and so accept all of them, and then start expanding your self-image. Expand. Using these techniques that we're sharing with you, okay? And when you do that, you can also get to a place of perspective, a place of light and love, where you can look back on your younger self. And that younger self may just be the self you were 2 weeks ago, at least. That was like, I have to do more. Oh gosh, what am I going to do now? Oh, this is so bad. Oh, where's the money going to come from? Oh, I'm so, and all that, okay? So go back to wherever you need to go back to and look at the mind talk of that self. And step into their reality and love them. Feel compassion for them. Feel compassion for her and give her love. Send your heart love to her. Wrap her in your love. Okay. And make a choice that from this time forth, you're not going to struggle anymore. Okay, you may still have scarcity. But you're just not going to do the struggle thing. You're not going to do the martyrhood thing. You're not going to sacrifice anymore. You're not going to sweat over the limiting beliefs and limiting ideas of money. You're just not going to worry about that. What you're going to do is you're going to be in peace, you're going to be in your light, and you're going to open to receive because you're done with earning. You'll open to receive, and you just say, okay, I know that my needs are met. And I expect that my needs will continue to be met. My basic needs. Now, admittedly, this may not be much. This may be your bottom line. But then talk to your guides and say, please help me receive more. I'm willing to receive more. I deserve to receive more. I am valuable. I'm worthy. You don't want to get into the struggle because then you get entitled. And if you're entitled, you're like, look how much I've worked. Look how hard I've worked. And I still don't have that money. That's entitlement. Let that go. That's earning. Okay? So just remember that you're going to be chilled. You're going to be cool, calm, collected. You're going to be in flow. You're going to be in divine love and so on. And you start expecting that the money will be there. That enough will be there. But first you start with enough. Because here to this day, you have had enough. Yeah, maybe it's been tight. Maybe it's been, you have to run around and put money this way and that way and just, you know, dance a bit about it. But still, you have enough. You're still here. You probably still have a place to live. You're still here. You have enough. So start with that and be totally non-struggle with enough. And what you're going to find is after a while, your psyche's going to get it. Your subconscious, which is your pattern holder. The subconscious mind holds all your patterns. All your patterns and repeats them endlessly. If you're not struggling, your subconscious finally will get it. It takes about 3 or 4 weeks. At the least, sometimes you will go back into your old mind talk. Then you have to get back out of it again and expand your self-image and see yourself as someone for whom the guides and spiritual team and the world provide enough for, and that you love the world with it. Now, when you get to that place, everything will start to shift. And from that place, that bottom line of just making it, just eking out, just making it, well, we'll just start lifting and lifting. And it won't be this last-minute emergency, you know, when the channel and Daniel got their house in Miami and they promptly ran out of money and they had this mortgage to pay. And so they scramble around like crazy at the last minute to get the money into the bank account. And in those days, it wasn't all digital and wireless and instant and so on. In those days, they had to write a check, put it in the mail, and send it to someplace like New Jersey or something. And so there was always, between that check being written and when it arrives and being deposited on the other side, there was always like about three or four days of tremendous craziness as they were running around getting the money into the bank. And they do it every month until they finally got, oh, do we really have to do all this crazy stuff? And they stopped being crazed about it. And then the money was there in time. And then there was more money than necessary. There was just a little bit more. And it continued to increase. So they turned it around that way. You can do that too. Okay? Thank you.
So Steve here says, when you work on your self-image, do you work on a general self-image or do you work on the self-image in regard to a certain goal? Let's say a career goal. This seems to be a big step in manifestation of my acting career, which needs momentum. I recently fell back in love with the whole artistic process. Thanks and gratitude.
All right. Well, thank you, too. So, Steve, when you focus on your image, your self-image, well, the image we're talking about here essentially is of you, the divine being. We're not talking about you as an actor. An actor, the actor image is just a little piece in there somewhere. Now, we don't want to imply, though, that when you put on an image for your career, that you must put on your ego facade. Most everybody does that. But here's what you can do. You know, if you go to an audition or whatever you need to do with it, to seek, to make some money, to get your goal going, what you want to do is to, as far as your self-image is concerned, is to put together the image of you, the successful actor. You want to put together the image of you, of what it would feel like to be you, if your goal was pretty much reached, if that level of success were in momentum. Because reaching a goal doesn't necessarily imply that there's a momentum. And it's way more important to have momentum than to reach a goal. And the reason for that is the momentum continues to bring opportunities. The goal, reaching a goal, does not. You reach a goal, kapump, that's it. And then once you reach a goal, then there's a space behind it. Okay. But if you have a momentum, you build a momentum, you can reach a goal, and then the momentum continues, and you reach a higher goal, and the momentum continues. Now, the self that you are is beyond all of this, the real self, That's the spiritual self, the divine self. However, for the sake of manifestation, because this is a manifestation process you're in, you want to imagine this divine self, this 20-foot-tall being, radiant, filled with light, living his life, just shining his light, sending out love, being this incredible, and all his chakras on, just the divine, just infusing him with love and so on. And you want to imagine this self as the actor. Okay, so here you are, you've got reached a goal, the momentum is carrying you forward, carrying you onward and upward, and you're really making some really, you're having a much more fun, you're having a blast, you're getting more opportunities of more fun things, you're doing much more fun, and it's just, oh yes, and you're able to get into that wonderful, delicious aspect of acting that just turns you on, like on fire. Oh my gosh, it's so exciting to really get into it just the way. So you imagine yourself there. You can't have anything unless you imagine it, because if you can imagine yourself being there, your box, which currently does not accept that goal in there, it does not contain that goal. If it did, you'd be there. You'd have the goal already. You keep expanding your box in your mind. You just keep expanding and expanding until you're there in your mind where you would be, radiant, huge light, spiritual being, enjoying your acting career. Just the way you like it. Just doing the things that you just love with great people and interesting projects and building into more interesting projects. And so to get into that state, you have to expand your image quite a bit. Your image is not there. Right now, your image is like, I'm over here on the side. I've got to get back into it. There's a certain resistance we sense that you have in going out and trying to get back into it, because the part of acting that you've fallen back in love with is generally the part of acting that a lot of up-and-coming actors, not the famous or really, really rich ones, experience, but the ones who fall in love with acting, i.e. the ones who are in their young adult self, or the ones who are beginners or more. You're falling back in love with that. Okay. Now, how does that translate into a leading role? How does that marvelous, delicious working with the characters and really getting into other realities and playing with this and playing with that, how would that look if you got a major role in a movie or a TV series or whatever? How would that look? How could you take that wonderful, fun acting part, grow it up into a more mature, realized, applied experience? You have to do this in your imagination. The process of doing that in your imagination will start to expand your image. But you have to get your image, your box expanded. You got to get to where your resonance is equivalent to being able to allow yourself to receive good roles and good opportunities that pay well. Okay. You're certainly going to have plenty of opportunities if you just want to volunteer for free. There's a lot of actors who do that because they just love it. It's so much fun. But what you're looking for is also to make money with it. You're looking to be successful. You're looking to be able to, you know, like so many actors, they get up to a certain level of acting, and then they want to direct, and then they want to produce and direct and get into and then get funding for their own movies that they want specifically, that they initiate, and so on. Things like that. You want to work up those levels, but you do it in your imagination first. Are you worthy? Do you deserve it? What does your mind talk tell you? What's your story about? Is your story always that it's too hard? Is your story that trying to please? And we're going to refer to the whole industry as Hollywood. Is your desire to do it? You're rebuffed and repelled by the shallowness or the mercenariness of Hollywood. Is there resistance anywhere? If so, you need to get your image beyond that. That's maybe a limiting belief. What we sense is that part of why you got out of it was because it was so hard to get others to say, yeah, you're the one. Let's hire you for this. If you had been getting good roles and being paid well and you were a working actor, you probably wouldn't have left. You probably left because you started to struggle. And so to get back into it, you're going to have to overcome the negative analysis that you made about why you didn't make it before. Even if you may have left it because, oh, I'd rather do this other thing, there still was this sense that you didn't make it and you have a rationale for it. That rationale is embedded in your image, in your self-image, as what's possible for you. That's why you need to expand your self-image. And that's also why you need to forgive yourself for whatever analysis and assumptions and beliefs you created from the previous experience that are limiting you again, now, in advance. You see, it's like a shopkeeper, you know, and he wants people to come into the shop and buy stuff. Well, one day it rains and nobody comes in, and the shopkeeper says, oh, it must be the rain. Well, once he makes that connection, every time it rains, his business will drop out. You see, the power of belief, the power of analyzing it. So look at your previous experience, analyze, okay, so why do you think it didn't work before? What are the assumptions and beliefs and attitudes you hold about working in Hollywood, working in that industry? How about maybe that you think that what you love, this passionate, wonderful part of acting that you just adore, maybe you can't make money with that. Maybe there's a belief you can't really succeed by doing what you love and adore. What does your mind talk tell you? What's your story tell you? If you find these things in your beliefs, in your mind talk, in your story, then what you want to do is, ta-da, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself, claim who you are, accept yourself, and expand your self-image until you can see you and Hollywood having a love affair, doing just exactly what you like to do. Until you get to that vibratory level through your imagination, through just feeling the vibes, then you don't really have that much chance to get back into it. Once you've gotten out of it, it's harder to get back into it, some people say. Is it? How are you going to do it this time? You see? So that's why expanding self-image is so important. If in doubt about anything, expand your self-image until you are that person. Now, finally, when you go for an audition, when you go to attend a business meeting of some sort, which might involve you being hired or you making money and that kind of thing, yes, you want to put on an image. Yes, you'll put on a facade for that event. You don't need to put a facade on the rest of the time. You don't need to impress your landlord. You don't need to impress people here and there. You just put on that facade when you go to be with them. And what is that facade going to be? That facade is going to be the image of you expanded, the box expanded, you the successful actor, loving life, and once again, very much like in Valerie's question, being able to just fully love and the mainstream, love the industry, just absolutely have a blast. Now, you're not an innocent anymore. So it's not going to be like, oh, it's so great, it's so wonderful, I love it, love it, love it. You're going to come from an adult place with that, okay? And you're going to say, oh, this is an industry of all sorts of really interesting, creative people, and I'm one of them. I belong here. This is so much fun. That's a little bit of a different thing. So you want to consciously put on your facade. You don't want to put on an ego facade because then you lose consciousness. When you lose consciousness and let your ego take over, it generally doesn't work too well. So you want to stay very conscious of how you respond and respond to any kind of interaction or question, and you feel the joy, the love, and hold in your mind and hold in your resonance the best you can what it feels like to be that successful, loving, free, empowered actor supported by the universe, making good money, doing exactly what he wants. What is that? That's, you imagine it, you stretch to that, you hold that frequency. And you hold that frequency throughout your auditions or interviews or whatever. And as long as you stay conscious of that, you'll be fine. But you do first have to clear out all these negative beliefs about it that have accumulated from the first time you did it. Okay? So, see how self-image is so critically important. And of course, when you step into that image of the successful actor, you're stepping into your future self. So you may want to go to your interviews or auditions as your future self. If you want more information on that, we have also done a seminar on the future self, which is, the future self is one of the best ways to expand your self-image. And so we are glad you asked that question. So we're going to add this to the techniques. So thank you very much. So we're going to add connecting with your future and being one with your future self also as part of this meditation coming up as well. So thank you so much for that, Steve.
Okay, so Kat says, if I'm sending energy, love, light, healing, and peace to the world frequently, it would be more effective if I expanded my self-image first. Thanks.
Oh my gosh, yes. so much, 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 much. Yes, 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 yes. In fact, when you send light and love to the world, if you send it from a victim point of view, it's just not going to work. It's not going to lift you. Now, of course, you don't want to send light and love and everything to the world with an intention to get back something. It's got to be freely given. And that's why you need to expand your self-image to a point to where you absolutely feel that you're a divine being and this is just what you do, and that what you are doing counts. What you are doing matters. What you are doing is having impact, okay? And you are holding this resonance in your expanded, greater, luminous self. So, yes, So we would recommend, as part of sending any energy and love and light to the world, please first get yourself expanded as into the divine as far as you can stretch, and you can feel the resonance, and you get really, really, really high, and then you can send it out there, and then you get more replenishment from the divine. It's really quite fun. All right? So thank you for that question. All right.
Okay, so Connie talks about, when I do whatever image expansion process I do, I don't really feel much different. Maybe I don't have measuring devices for my new level yet. So there seems to be a time lag between expansion and reality response, and self-doubt can creep in. Do you have any suggestions on that?
Okay. All right. Well, here's what we would suggest is that just as we often suggest at night that you just connect with us and let us surround you with our light and our love and just let us do some healing work, we suggest you call us in, right? And let us do some healing work and so forth, just like that, until you can kind of start feeling that you are receiving a little bit of energy. Now, as soon as you feel that you're receiving energy, start expanding your image. You expand your image for a while, and then let us give you some more. You feel some more. And then expand it some more, and let us give you some more. And if you'll do this maybe about 2 or 3 times, you get really, really, really big and luminous and huge, and your light is just enormous. Then you should feel kind of high. You should feel light, like there's light in you. You should feel light as if you weigh less, as if you've just lost some pounds. You should feel light as if you're just, all the energies are just flowing smoothly in your body. There just should be that kind of lightness, okay? And that's what you're looking for as far as feeling it. Now, even though you do these techniques and you do them with intention and you don't feel anything, just know that, yes, the intention is being registered. So, yes, you can do all of this and not feel anything, and it will work. But we also want you to understand, even if you do feel something, even if you get high as a kite over it, there still is a time lag before you see any impact in your physical reality. And that's because between the energetic reality, which is instant, the prana, the vibrations, they're all instant. They're absolutely, all time is now, boom, you got it. But when you're dealing with 3D reality, then there is a time lag for it to kind of get into 3D reality and integrate in there. So that time lag is always there. There's always a time lag. Now, there will be a point, though, if you keep doing it, that there will be a momentum created which you may never even see. You may never even know that there's a momentum. But if you do image expansion more consistently and more regularly, you will start building a kind of energy momentum. And then what you'll find is that your interactions within the physical plane will start behaving differently. There'll be a more lightness in it. Issues will move through way more elegantly. Relationships even if they're negative relationships, they can resolve more quickly. If they're positive relationships, they can expand more quickly. It's just really, you'll see that will be happening. So it will seem like there's less of a gap, but what it really is that you've built a momentum because you've kept expanding your self-image. Okay? So that's what we do recommend, that you call us in so that you can, until you can get it, if it's not us, call in your higher self. If you get more from the higher self, or if you work with someone else like Lazarus, you call in Lazarus. Whatever it takes for you to start feeling something in you, feeling something in you, and then you start working on it. And then you pause and feel more, and then you work on it. That way, maybe you'll start being able to tune into the lightness that comes with it. A sense of exhilarating freedom when you do it well. And if you're able to attune to it, it's just so freeing. It just feels so good. Your body just feels so happy over it. And indeed, it's a remedy that for people, if you know anyone who has depression, you know, talk to them about expanding their self-image, because it can help get them out of depression too. So it's just a marvelous tool. All right. So call us in, and we'll see what we can do. And you'll build a momentum, and then you'll see how your physical reality can respond so nicely. All right. So thank you for that.
Helen says, I've had two encounters with magnetic energy in the last week. A house I was in was hit by lightning 2 feet from where I was. And then a storm hit with 60-mile-an-hour winds and hail. Oof. I feel like I'm being asked to expand my image about doing bigger, more powerful magic. And with magnetic energy, how do I step into this new image if that is the case? Is it a different kind of magician than what I see myself as?
Ah, all right. All right, well, here's what we would say, and what we will say, all right, is that magnetism, magnetic energy, it's part of the forces of nature. And it's definitely not a different magician from the type of magician you are, but it is an expanded magician. And so what we would recommend is that you regularly call in the forces of nature. You standing in the center, and you call in the four archangels in their respective locations, and because there's the magnetic, there's electrical magnetic, there's the forces of nature, like the weak force and the strong force and gravity, you know. So all these forces are also represented by fire, earth, wind, and water. And so what you do is you call in all the forces of nature. And if you call them in and you're able to kind of remember the feeling of the magnetic energy, the feeling of it. There was a feeling during the storm. There was a certain kind of intensity unique to that magnetic energy, okay? And so when you just remember that and feel that and allow yourself to connect into that and into the forces of nature and allow the forces of nature to connect with you and you with them. And the way you do that, it's kind of a simplistic way, but that's a good way to start, okay? And that is that you're looking at each archangel, you're looking at Raphael, let's say, and in the east, and you see a form, a human-like form, and you connect your root chakra to Raphael's root chakra, your second chakra to his second chakra, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. And connect. And allow him to feed you some of this power. Okay? Then you go to Michael on the south, do the same. Gabriel in the west, do the same. Uriel in the north, do the same. Now, what happens when you do this and you feel the power is that then you, when you are working your magic, then when you are calling for some reality to happen, you can call in the connections. you have to the forces, and you can bring them and integrate them into your self-image so that you are holding the powers of and the forces of nature within you. So imagine yourself standing as tall as the archangels. You know, they may be standing 20 feet tall. You stand 20 feet tall. You stand in the center, radiant, powerful. Okay, so that can be integrated into your self-image as well. And that can enable you to step up your magic to a bit higher level. And we would say, yes, when you got all this magnetism, it was telling you that it was time for you to ramp up and magnetize your magic. Make it bigger. Make it more powerful. Make it more luminous. That's for sure. And tapping into the forces of nature can really do that for you. So that's what we would recommend for that. And what's interesting is that connecting into the forces of nature through this imagined form of with chakras, that can also work for those of you listening who have difficulty with the world. Where, you know, we've talked about already and questions already asked about getting in connection with the world and allowing the world or the industry or whatever it is to support you. This is one of the ways that you can gain energy as a person who is not necessarily part of the collective that easily. Someone who is a little on the outside looking into the consensus reality mainstream with all its, you know, chaos and energies and stuff like that. But if you can get juice from the powers and forces of nature, sometimes it makes you much more capable of dealing with the consensus reality and allowing that consensus reality to support you and to give to you. So this is a technique that can be used in a lot of situations, so that you can, and it can be used for manifestation. You know, so Steve could use it for the for Hollywood industry, you know, to get his energy up equivalent so he can step into his power and into that industry, you know, and so on. And Valerie can do that to kind of, you know, get herself connected to the consensus because she is of the consensus really likes people who have a lot of energy and power. If you have a huge presence, consensus likes that, even if you're not part of the consensus, even if you're not really that interesting, as far, even if you don't belong in the mundane role of the consensus, if you come as this shining star filled with the power and the forces of nature, consensus goes, ooh, maybe you're a special one. And it will want to give to you. So this is a good technique all around for that. So thank you for asking that question.
Okay. And David says, I would like to be more interactive with my crystals, especially my two ancient ones. Is that merely imagining a future where it is so much more present and real? And let that create my present, working with my crystals.
Okay, well, you can play with it that way. We would say it's much more direct to step into your future self, who works with the crystals, rather than seeing the crystals as part of your future. See your future self working with the crystals, okay, and tapping into the power of the crystals and in communion with the crystals and in working in a partnership with the crystals. So that would be what we would suggest that you imagine and dream, that future you. And in the meantime, and also, and in addition, okay, expand your self-image until it became feels natural and normal. Natural and normal that your crystals and you are working together on a very high plane. That your communication is just exquisite. That you are in this enheightened and enlightened, expanded space with them. Right. So just keep expanding and until that feels right. Okay, and then as you sit with the crystals, loving them, listening to them, let them share with you. If you have their provenance, just sit with that. If not, just let them gift you some of their provenance, their history, their story, their being. And what's really nice is that crystals, when you listen to the crystals' story, it's not this sad story that humans generally give themselves, because the crystals don't have egos like humans do at all. So listen to their story. Use your imagination. Tap into it. Touch them. Hold them. Be present with them. Let them share their light and their beauty with you. And step into your future self every time that you want to do any extended work with them. Just go into that future self who already knows what the heck he's doing, and then in that expanded state now, a tremendously expanded, radiant, powerful, loving, free energy, then go sit with them. And they'll appreciate that. Because the higher, the grander your image of yourself, grander you that you claim of you, the more they can work with you, the more they can teach you and share with you. Because the ancients have, oh my, what wisdom they have that they can share with you, and so it could be a really wondrous way to kind of evoke more information from them. More communication between the two of you, more connection, and that can give you all sorts of great ideas for grander magic. Be really fun as well. So it's wonderful that you have these two ancients in your life, and they are so looking forward to you allowing them to gift you with some of their light, their love, and their wisdom. All right. Thank you.
Okay, so that's it for the question.
Very good. So let's go into the meditation now.